Hello, everyone. I'm so glad you're here today. Got a special treat for you. Elder Julio will be preaching the Word of God, and he's got a special message for you. I want to go ahead and start off with a word of prayer. Let's go before our Father God. We're getting all excited, see? That's why our hearts that are ready to receive the Word. Why don't we pray? Father God in heaven, we just look to you now, and Father, we love your holy presence. And I pray you will fill this entire place, fill our minds, our souls, and spirits with more of you as we come with hearts that are truly surrendered to you. And I ask you now, Lord, because we know that as we're living our lives for you, we know you're pleased. And we know we can expect greater and greater blessings in our lives as we simply say, Lord, we choose to do it your way. And I pray, Father, as Elder Julio will preach your word this very day, I pray our hearts are prepared and ready to receive whatever you will show us today from your word. Because we know, Lord, it's not about us. It's all about you. So, Lord, I just pray right now, just magnify yourself. As we decrease, Lord, may you increase in every way. We give it all to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And everyone says,
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. So, like I said, Elder Julio is preaching today, but you look around, hey, where is he? Well, he's not here. Well, I want you to understand, Julio's been serving as an elder for many, many years. I think like 5 years or so. And he comes to our Saturday service at the park. And the thing is, he serves as an elder here and a deacon at another church. So he's a busy guy, but you know, yesterday he preached at the park for 45 minutes. And I was supposed to videotape the entire sermon and show it to you today. But I'm not a electronic kind of a guy. And what happened was my camera ran out of memory. So he was able to preach for 30 minutes on the video. But right now, I don't know, are we getting it, the last part? We're trying. We've been trying since last night. And it's down to the wire, you know. But I don't know. Benson, are we there yet? Okay, almost? Okay, don't worry about it, because here's the thing. We got at least 30 minutes of video of Elder Julio preaching, but at the end of 30 minutes, we'll know if we can watch the rest. If not, I prepared the rest of the sermon. So, very interesting situation here, but praise God. You know, we got to keep moving with the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that gives us His Word, so we're just going to trust in Him, whatever He's going to do in this time. But I want to let you know, today we're going to be talking about materialism, and it's kind of funny. You know, I asked him like a couple of weeks ago, I said, so Julio, are you ready to preach another sermon? And he goes, well, what should I preach about? You know, I said, something about Christmas. And
this one, the first
just came up with materialism. I wonder why. You think about it though, right? If you were to go to shopping malls, especially Ala Moana, it's crazy, man. You ever try going there? You can be going around and around and around in circles looking for parking. And I gotta tell you, it's so terrible, the parking. You guys know what I'm talking about, right? But like John Lee, she'd just pray sometimes, and boom, right there, she'll get a parking spot, right? But you know, if you go into the stores, oh man, those lines are crazy, super long lines. I mean, across, you know, the shopping mall, you can see these lines. It's just crazy. It's going outside the store in some of them. And you know, just the other day, I was at Target, and you know, I see some of the children just begging their parents for toys and video games. Please, 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 Daddy, if you get me this game, I'll be the happiest person in the world. And you can see some of them are throwing tantrums, you know? They're going, I want it now. I'm not going until I get it now. And they're like on the floor, they're railing about, and they're telling their parents, I gotta have this. And you know, some of them, they promise, right? Says, you buy me this, Daddy. I'll do all my chores. I'll never question you. I'll get better grades. I'll do all my chores. And you hear all of this, right? And you realize, I made an observation. 1 in 3 parents will usually give in to their precious child. And you know, a lot of times because they don't want the aggravation, right? Okay. Go get it. And they pay for whatever they want. Right, where there's some parents, get in the car, now. Told you I'm not going to get in the car. You know what I'm talking about. I know you love your mom, but you know what I'm talking about. But here's the thing. When we realize, when our heart is set upon stuff, S-T-U-F,
in our lives, guess what? Our giving may be greatly affected to the point, you know what? If you want to give, guess who you want to give to? Yourself. And you know the heart about what the Christmas message is all about? It's about the very fact what God gave us. And that's what the message that our brother Julio will try to bring forth. But before we do that, I'm going to show you this video about two brothers who will try to explain to us what it means to give. Benson, can you play that video for us?
This is the story of two brothers. The brothers' mother. This year, like all other years, they gathered to celebrate Christmas. One brother loved the Christmas season. And the other brother? Well, he loved the things that Christmas could bring. As the night wore on, a mountain of gifts seemed to be as the fire grew dim and the cocoa ran dry, there remained but one gift left to give. This gift, however, was different than all the other gifts given that night. For this gift was given from the heart. So, take a lesson from the brothers Marley. While 'tis better to give than to receive, 'tis truly better to have a giving heart than to keep anything at all.
Praise God. Alright, there we go. Alright, well, that's what the message will be today on. It's about materialism. And we realize if we have a spirit of materialism, we want it all. And you know what? It's going to affect our heart to give. That's the message that our brother Julio will try to bring forth today. Why don't we tune in to what the Holy Spirit will speak to us as he delivers his word. Before we do that, why don't we go ahead and start with the word of prayer. Let's pray. Father in heaven, as our brother Julio is ready to give us his word, from your words, Lord, that come straight from scriptures, I just pray, Father, that your words will truly touch our hearts, and we will truly know what the meaning of Christmas is all about. Father, we pray, Lord, as we are not distracted by our surroundings, we're going to tune in to your voice. Let your voice speak to us in ways that will truly transform our hearts. We give this time unto you now. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray all these things. And everyone says, amen. Amen. Praise God. Benson, go ahead.
Honored to be here. Thank you, Pastor Ben and the Open Door crew, the ministry, all these guys. Give them a hand. They work so hard every single week. Raising the sun and everything, they're out here, they want to minister to me, they want to give you the word of God, amen. Well, it's my privilege to be here today, and you know, this subject came up to me, you know, Pastor Ben said, you want to speak this week? And I said, okay, what about? And it was getting something about Christmas. I said, okay, I don't want to do the whole Christmas message because, you know, that's supposed for Christmas. So, we got the subject of materialism. Everybody say materialism. You know, I know we're not all educated like me, and you don't have to learn how to spell it. It's already written out there for you. Well, before I even start, let me just pray. I just feel we need to pray. Father, we thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord God. Father, may you increase right now as I decrease. I know, Lord, the things that you have put into my heart and mind, you have caused me to think even for myself, Lord. This message is for me first, Lord God, and you're dealing with my heart. And as I share with my brothers and sisters and friends here today, I pray, Lord, by the Holy Spirit, Lord, that you touch their heart. May you speak to them as you have spoken to me, Lord God, and cause change. I thank you, I praise you, and I give you all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Amen. Everybody said amen? Praise God. Let's look at your notes over here. It says, the definition, I just got this off the internet, and it kind of made sense to me, so I just kind of looked at it. It says, what is the definition of materialism? It's such a big word. And we kind of loosely use that word all around. And the description of it says, a preoccupation or emphasis on material objects, comforts and considerations, with a disinterest in or rejection of spiritual, intellectual, or cultural values. And the second part says, interest in desire for money, possessions, etc., rather than spiritual or ethical values. Wow. In my notes over here, I have six short points for you, and I just want to discuss a little bit about that. You know, we all have like blind spots. I know, anybody here driven before? You ever drive a car? Some people are driven, right? Some people should be on the road, but some people are driven here before, right? And have you ever driven on the road and, you know, you're going to turn, you want to turn to the next lane because maybe you got to turn left somewhere. And you look in the mirror, and you look in front, you look in the mirror, and you're just ready to turn, and right before you turn, and it beeps the horn. And you're like, oh, where'd that car come from? How could I not see that there was a car over there? We all have these blind spots, eh? We try to figure it out, but we have one. You're wondering, like, how in the world did I miss a two-ton, you know, truck next to me that wasn't there just a moment ago? And then sometimes we, as that illustration, we think we're right in some things, but all the time we even think we're doing good. And in actuality, when we compare it to God's word, we're like so wrong. You know, we're concerned about our living in our comforts, you know, provision for our family and things like that. Let me get to the first note over here. It asks the question, do we need more stuff? How many of you need more stuff? Some stuff. Come on, be honest. Be honest. Some stuff. Jesus is not stuff. He's God. We need stuff, right? I mean, you know, we need clothes. We need, you know, things like that. We don't need stuff, yeah? Oh, yeah. I need new shoes too, my brother. Let's look at the first scripture. This is in 1 Timothy. I just want to read the first part. 6:6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. And then verse 8 says, but if we have food and clothing, we'll be content with that. I want to talk a little bit about that, yeah? You know, the holidays are coming in. How many know that during holidays there's always sales going on? What was the most recent sale? We have Thanksgiving sale. Can you name some holidays that sales are really popular? Father's Day, Memorial Day, Valentine's Day, Black Friday. Who said Black Friday? Black Friday. I want to talk about Black Friday for a moment. That's not even a holiday. That's a shopping day. And you know, I was on YouTube, yeah, and I looked up some previous videos in regards to Black Friday, and there was this one video with these two women at the mall. They were beefing, I mean, full on, like, punching and going at it, but I never seen that, but it was interesting. I was like, wow, that woman, she can fight. And the next thing you know, one of them pulls out a taser, and then the video kind of ended. Black Friday. How many of you have gone out on a Black Friday, so to say, and stood in line? Anybody stood in line for something that you really, really need? That you can save like $5, but you're willing to wait 20 hours to get it? You ever thought about that? Have you ever thought about that? You know, I can understand if somebody like really needs something, like a laptop computer for school, and you know, as a student, you may be really poor and you don't got money, right? So you gotta stay there to save that $100 so you can get that laptop for $100 so you can do your schoolwork. Very understandable. You spend 10 hours in line to get that thing, it's understandable. But when you're standing in line for 10 hours to save $5, it doesn't work, yeah? I mean, you could do something else and make $5 an hour someplace else really quick, right? So, you know, we're a little bit confused about that. You know, we in America, how many know that we are a very consuming nation? We consume. We take in a lot. Per capita, we're the number one intake of stuff. We buy stuff from China, from Japan, from Korea, from Vietnam. Hey, U.S. is the place to sell stuff. And who's buying? We are buying. You went to Walmart, you bought. You bought. You know, a lot of times I heard this quote, I don't know who made this quote, but it made sense. It's like, a lot of times we buy things we don't need with the money we don't have to impress the people we don't like. How many say that sounds true? You know, we're living in a very materialistic world, and you know, it's not limited to other places, it's everywhere. And it's not limited to people who have money or people who don't have money. You may not have a lot of stuff, but the stuff that you have, it's probably important to you. You watch after your stuff, and you leave your bag there, but when you go get your food, you watch that bag, right? You watch that bag, you don't just leave it anywhere. You know, you don't have to have a lot of money to have a desire for stuff. And that's what we're talking about, the heart. So, you know, it's not, this materialism is not just a stereotype to those who have a lot of money to spend, and, you know, okay, those are the materialists. But even if you don't have, you can still have that same heart of desiring and wanting. What about in the church? Oh, Pastor, I'm going to be talking about the church now. Oh, church is good, amen? Church is not the building, amen? It's the people, right? Praise God. You know, on Sunday at my home church, after the song service and, you know, some announcements, and it's time to bust out the Bible, I rarely see anybody bust out a Bible nowadays. It's all on the phone, right? Everything's on the phone, on the pad, on the screen. Rarely anybody carries a Bible. Only maybe the pastor and maybe just a few of the older folks. They carry the Bible. Who has a smartphone? Come on, don't lie. Yeah, it's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. There's no sin. Anybody have a tablet? Flat screen TV? MP3 player? Those things are not sinful to have those things. Those things are very useful at times. I admit I have a smartphone because I'm not too smart. Oh, you carry a Bible. Praise the Lord, brother. Praise the Lord, brother. But, you know, those things are not sinful to have. But sometimes when we get into it and we desire it so much, like we have to have the latest thing, yeah? First thing, the iPhone. Then there's what? The iPhone, what? The iPhone 2? iPhone. Brother Omar, iPhone 4, 5, 6, 6 Plus. And we have to be first in line, and we have to, and even in, I heard for a time they had this gold iPhone, and people were like standing in line to get this, you know, very expensive gold iPhone. And for what? Right? To show off, for status. You know, materialism has been described as basically, it's kind of a, we take it this way, it's like, it's kind of like a yardstick for success for people. People look at that, wow, he's got a lot of stuff, he must be like, you know, very materialistic, but he must be successful, right? We kind of equate that, and when we equate people with having a lot of stuff that they are successful. And to some extent, all of us are somewhat materialistic. You know, they did a study on the brain. You know, when people see stuff on like the media and ads and things like that, and then when they see it, they kind of want it. And what happens in the brain is it releases some dopamine. It's like a chemical in your brain that brings like a pleasure. And what they found out was that, you know, the desire to, you know, when you see that thing and you desire to shop for it and buy it, when you buy it, it's the same feeling as just thinking about buying it. So I propose that if we can train our minds to only think about buying something and not buying it, wow, we would save a lot of money, amen? Save a lot of money over there. You know, when my son, when he was young, he's still young, he's 8 now, you know, when we took him to Toys R Us, we talked about this, like, how are we going to prevent him from being like, you know, every time we go somewhere that he has to buy something. But we remember, you know, we gave him this example, we said, You know, son, when we go to the zoo, we visit the animals, yeah? Yes, Dad. And then we play with the animals sometimes at the petting zoo. Yes, Dad. Do we take home the animals? Oh, no, Dad. So when we go to the toy store, we're going to visit the toy store. We're going to visit the toys. And then we're going to leave them there where they belong. Amen? Praise God. That was extra. Praise God. You know, we all have that temptation. And then, as you look on the notes over here, the second part of Timothy on the verse 9, he said, those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap, into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money, everybody say love of money, is a root of all kinds of evil. Money is not evil. It's the love of money. And then some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. We hear about this, yeah, in the society where father, you know, or mother, both career-oriented, working, and then in good intention, they only want to supply the needs for the family. But sometimes it goes to the point where they sacrifice the time with the kids instead of, you know, spending time with the kids, instead of raising the kids. They work, 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 work. A lot of money. And they buy houses and buy a lot of things. And, you know, they, with good intentions, they want to give good stuff to their kids, right? Who doesn't want to give good stuff to their kids? But sometimes it gets to that point where it's all work. All work and neglect. And so families fall apart. Even with money, but it's all no good because, you know, the relationships are not there. You don't even know what your son or your daughter likes. You don't know what his favorite color is. You don't know what the favorite cartoon is. And then, so, you know, we got to be so careful that the scripture is warning us about that. You know, all of us, you know, even at a young time, especially in the Chinese culture, you must be successful. You must go to school. You must be a good boy and make lots of money. And that's like the culture that I grew up in that sense where, you know, if you're going to be deemed successful, you got to be making a lot of money and pursuing that. But, you know, they did studies of some of the most filthiest, well, they're not filthy, but they're filthy rich. And they're some of the most miserable people in the world. You know, there's a scripture in Ecclesiastes that talks about, you know, the laborer sleepers, that's very sweet. But the guy with a lot of bucks gets him no sleep. Why? Why does it say that? Because he's worried somebody will take it. How is he gonna protect that? How is he gonna safeguard it so that it's always there? Your trust becomes into the money, yeah? And so let us take heed of that. Number two, it says, where are we putting our stuff? Matthew 6:19. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. And in verse 21 is a very sharp scripture if you read into it. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. That's a familiar scripture, yeah? A lot of us hear that one. I hear that one quite often when, you know, like when they're collecting tithes and stuff like that at the church. And it's a popular scripture to use. So I said, where are we putting our stuff? How many of you know why we got like some of the most storage places on this planet Earth? They're like on the corners, and then they're just like anywhere. They're like right in the middle of Waikiki, they were on. They're on like Kaimoki. It's just like all over the place. Where is there so much stuff? Who's putting stuff in there? We are. We're putting stuff in there. We have so much stuff that we have no more room in our house, so we have to rent room or build a shed in the back to put our stuff. Because we you know, we want our stuff. We put things in there, usually the things that we don't really need and don't really want, but we're afraid that one day we might need it. One day we might be able to fit it. One day we might use it. I helped a friend one time, and to move stuff, they were moving from one apartment to another, a house to an apartment. And when they're in the house, they have more room, of course. And so they have to put some stuff in storage. And when I helped them move, I'm like, do you need this band? Because it's only half. You don't have the bass, but you have the top. Yeah, yeah, we might, you know, find a bottom someday. What about this pillow? This pillow. It's kind of frail and it kind of smells, you know. Oh, yeah, but, you know, it's special to me, so I want to keep it. And so we're moving all this stuff. It's like rubbish. And we're putting in the storage, and every month we're paying money to keep rubbish. Materialism. You know, I'm not going to lie to you. I'm very guilty of materialism. When Pastor Ben asked me to talk about, to give a message, I mean, God was speaking to me first. And as my prayer, you know, God was talking to me. It's like, you look around you, and you look in your house, and you look in your office, and you look in your, like, what are you doing all this stuff, man? I don't need 6 pairs of scissors in this house. You know, what are you going to do with 25 frying pans? I mean, you know, so, you know, we're all guilty of this. But for some reason, we just like to collect things, don't we? We don't like to throw things out. Especially, you know, I remember when I used to live in Kukui Garden, and then we finally were able to afford to buy a place outside, and when we were moving, we got rid of a lot of stuff. And there was this little lady with a little cart, and she lived like in the neighborhood as well. And she goes, young man, you know, she spoke Chinese actually. Can I take these things? Sure, if you want. Save me the trip to the garbage can, right? So she started taking stuff, like putting stuff in the cart, and then just loading, and she'll come back, and she'll go, and she'll come back. And I was like, oh, this is good, man. I got a free helper, you know. And then a few minutes later, another gentleman came, like a younger gentleman, and turned out to be her son. And said, sir, can you tell her that she cannot take stuff? He goes, I don't have any room in my house anymore. Stuff. It's the scriptures teach us to store our treasures up in heaven and not here on earth. The stuff over here, I don't care how new it is. I don't care. It's the latest model. It's gonna get old, dude. Yeah. Right? It's gonna get old in the new model. And then, you know, the companies know that. That's why they keep putting out new stuff for you. Because they know you want the latest stuff. Now, I propose that we should look the other way, and, you know, with all this media that's facing us, it's trying to sell us stuff. There's no doubt about it, right? TV, even when you go to the movies and all that, they're always trying to sell you stuff. They're trying to put stuff like, you need that. You need that so that you're going to look good, you know? And then so we buy into this, and we get this stuff because it seems to make us feel good. I mean, you know that when you buy something, it kind of feels good, right? It's not wrong or sinful about that. But then when we get on this boat of buying stuff and getting stuff and hoarding stuff, it becomes very dangerous for storing our stuff here. And one of the ways I can propose that we can do something about it is give something outside of your own or your family's needs. You know, in my home church, we have missions conference every year, and we have a conference. We have special speakers all around the world, and then they kind of inspire us and kind of give us insight to what's going on in different parts of the world. This year we had a pastor, Dishan. She's from India, and you know, he spoke about all the stuff that is happening there. There's great persecution in those places, man. Over here we can just sit here and praise the Lord, and we just say, praise Jesus. Over there, they're not so free to do that. You know, their pastors get beaten up, killed, they torch the churches. They do a lot of those things. They don't have the kind of freedom that we have over here. And so, you know, we give this information and all these things that's happening, and so we support, you know, this church, we support the different outreaches that they do, because there's a lot of people in India who don't know the Lord, and it's a place where a lot of poor people don't have much. And so one of the things we do is we have a missions conference, and then we put together this money, and then we with different missionaries that go out to different countries, everywhere from Brazil to Japan and all the different places. And one of the places that we give to is Gospel for Asia. And personally, I do that as well. I support a few missionaries that do Gospel for Asia. And the reason why I like to do that is that I know that if I go, I probably won't be as effective as somebody who is saved there, knows to speak the language, knows the culture, knows the neighborhood, and can survive on less than a bowl of rice a day. I cannot. So sending forward what I have here, I can help those over there. And these are like little ways that we can do. Anybody ever sponsored a child before? One of those sponsored child things? Yeah, I'm on my second child. The other one grew too old. So, you know, we're on the second one. And it's good. You know, doing something outside of yourself instead of just only inside. You know, there's a lot of great spiritual as well as physical needs out there. Who may know the number of people in this world? The number of people?
7 billion.
7 billion. Did you get off the internet?
No, I know
because I was in India. Ah, wow. So 7 billion people. It is estimated, and I got this information online, approximately a third profess to be Christians. Approximately. You know, I think that number probably includes some of the Catholics and different ones and denominations. So, a third out of a billion. What about the rest? They don't know Jesus. They don't know. There's an urgent call for all of us that there are people out there who are dying, who don't have much and who may not know the Lord at all. You know, I look online and just general about, it says that about 1 billion people live on less than a dollar a day. How many spent $1 today? At least $1. At least $1. $1. McDonald's coffee, $1. Free Asia, $1. About 2 billion people live on about $2 a day. How many spend $2 today? $2. Money that we put for parking. People living. You know that if you made $25,000 a year, and to some people it sounds like a lot, and it is a lot if you compare it to the world, if you make $25,000 a year, you're in the top 10% of the wealthiest people in the world, if you could pick the world as a whole. That's amazing, yeah? So where's your heart? Can anybody look at your checkbook? Anybody take a look at their tax return at the end of the year? You who say you believe in God, do you also obey His command to give? You don't have to be rich to give. That's why God, you know, He talks about, you know, the tithe, yeah, 10%. And I know there's a lot of talk about, well, that's an Old Testament thing and not a New Testament. The New Testament encourages to be even more generous than that. Above 10%. 10% is just like the start. That's the ante up, brother. It's just the ante up. You're not even in the game yet. And sometimes we feel like, oh Lord, we don't have much. How can we give? We don't have much. And a lot of times, it's because we put our money into stuff. And so we don't have freed up money to give. But look at your notes on number 3. It says, so are we living for stuff? I mean, you know that everything in Hawaii is kind of expensive. When was the last time you bought a gallon of milk? When it's not on sale, if you buy the local brand, it's like $9, isn't it? And then when you buy it on sale, it's what, about $5-something? More than $5-something? I know because I still get cakey. In the mainland, because I work in a restaurant in Waikiki, I talked to the tourists, and the tourists let me know, you know, I said, yeah, it's expensive living here. I tell them, yeah, we pay, you know, on average, let's say for a gallon of milk, like $5.60-something. Ah, we only pay $2.99. And sometimes when it's on sale, $1.99 for a gallon of milk. It's crazy, yeah? We pay a lot for stuff in Hawaii. And, you know, we all need food, right? We need clothing. Who doesn't need food here today? You can save your lunch for somebody else, not for anybody in the street. We need food, we need clothing, we need shelter. But when is it overkill? When is it like too much? You know, I'm not going to be legalistic. That's going to be really up to you. Me, I like to shop like at Sam's Club. Because you can buy the same shirt for like $7, like, you know, it's all the same, and it's all the same size. And that's how I like to shop. Some people like to, you know, browse the mall and see what fits and whatever. Me, I like, if I find something that fits, I'm going to buy two or three of them because I'm going to wear those quite often. So, you know, there's no legalistic thing about, you know, how much is too much. That's going to be between you and God. But, you know, sometimes when we put ourselves in a position to be in heavy debt, and we're stressed out because we got like an immense mortgage or a heavy car payment or, you know, all these things that we're trying to make better for our family, but we go above and beyond what we really need, and we go for more for what we want, then you go for the deluxe model. Like, it's like when you go to McDonald's, but I like the number eight, you know? What's the number eight? Anybody know McDonald's? What is the number eight? A fish sandwich or something like that, no? Yeah, and then when you can see that there's a dollar hitting you on the side, oh, I can get two McBubbles and a french fry for about $3 or $4. But the other one is like, $7. You decide, right? You can go overkill sometimes on what you want. And then sometimes so we stress ourselves out, you know, father and mother working a lot, you know, in their careers, trying to make a lot of money to, of course, take care of the kids, take care of the house, and in the meantime, you know, the family falls apart. And a lot of times we put on this altar of getting stuff, our families, our children. And a lot of times we even risk our health. We would end up not taking care of ourselves, right? We work, and we don't take care of ourselves, and then we wonder why, you know, we have all these health problems. You know, in the scripture, it warns us. Let me read the scripture here to you. It says, the lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore that light is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And mammon is like money or stuff. It says in the first verse over here about your eye, how you see things, what you believe. You know what? That point, that part is wrong. And I told you, you're going to be doing the wrong stuff. You're going to believe in the wrong stuff. Like, for instance, if you believe that if I acquire a lot of stuff, I'm successful and I'll be very happy. That's not true. People with a lot of stuff always got to watch over their stuff, and they got to find a place to put their stuff. You know, George Carlin, he's a comedian. I don't really like him that much because he uses a lot of vocal language, but I ran across this clip where he talked about stuff. And what he says rang pretty true. Like, we have houses, so we're going to put our stuff in here. Because we always need a place to put our stuff. I have a fanny pack. That's where I put my stuff, right? And my wife, you know, she needs her keys all over and she can't find it. But I have a place for my stuff. We all need a place to put our stuff, right? And then when we're vacation, we like to put our stuff in a little suitcase because we need our stuff when we're on a vacation, right? And when we get into our hotel room, right? What do? We take our stuff and put it in the drawers and fill up those stuff. And then when you find out, oh, there's still room, let's go shopping, let's get some more stuff. So, you know, we're so caught up in these things and stuff. So when the way you see this life and how you steward those things is very important. If you see it the wrong way, you're going to end up in the wrong side. And it says you cannot serve two masters. You're either going to serve God or you're going to serve money. And it's a struggle. You know, it's a struggle for me sometimes. You know, I feel more secure, and I'm going to be honest with you. I feel more secure when there's a couple of bucks in my pocket when I go to the store. What if there's nothing in your pocket? Why would you go to the store? But if you go to the store, what are you going to do? You don't have anything in your pocket.
or maybe in the bank. You feel a little more safe when there's some, you know, extra in the bank, you know, for backup and stuff like that, as opposed to, wow, we're down to the last, you know, couple of dollars, what are we going to do? You know, it's natural to feel security in that. But then, where are we putting our trust here? And that leads to number four. It says, are we putting our trust in stuff? It says in 1 Timothy 6, 17-21, commandos who are rich in this present world, not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. So right there, that ending verse tells us that, hey, God gives us stuff to enjoy too. It's not just like, you know, you cannot have stuff. You can. Just don't get into it so far that, you know, it owns you like that. You know, there was I seen this thing on Netflix. It was about all these athletes who became like bankrupt or more poor than when they first started. They were talking, they interviewed like, I think about 30 different athletes, everywhere from football to baseball. And these guys, they think most of them came from a background that's, you know, like maybe poor, not a lot, but when they you know, they got their talent out there and the scout them out and they give them these humongous contracts of multi-million dollars, you know. They're like, oh, my first week is like $1 million. What are we gonna do? First thing they do, they buy a car, buy two cars, buy a house, buy another car, buy a gold chain and all those things. And you know, the sad thing is that in the end all these athletes who were good at what they did, but you know, came time, you know, when you're too old and you bust your knee, you bust your arm, you can't jump anymore, and now you know your contract is over and you kept spending that way, in the end they lost everything. It's sad. They said, how come no one taught us how to use this money? How to use it? We are commanded to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. And you know, here at Open Door Ministries, this is what we're doing. We're generous, right? We're generous over here, right? Did we charge anybody here today or ever for lunch? Did we ever charge anybody to have a drink of water? Never, right? Generosity. And that's why, you know, I continue to serve here along Pastor Ben, because, you know, he has a heart of giving, and it's the right thing. But, you know, we can do so much more. God has put so many resources in our hands, and, you know, sometimes we have to just start small. You don't have to be, you know, so rich to do something for somebody else. You know, you call yourself a Christian, and you say you follow the Lord, but God commands us to do good, to be rich in good deeds. If you cannot maybe give an aspect of money and the money for them, you can do, and then some of you do. You guys come every week and you come early and you help serve and help set up the tent, help clean up like that, help put up the chairs. That's part of it too, you know? That you're willing to do something, yeah? And not only about yourself. You know, we need to ask God to open our hearts sometimes to see these things that, you know, that we don't put our trust in stuff, because stuff eventually go away. And so that goes back to, are we sharing our stuff? Do we share our stuff? Or is that mine, like Nemo? You know, remember those birds? Those seagulls? Mine, it's all mine. God wants us to be generous in all aspects of what He's doing. And we are just, when you think about it, just stewards of those things, aren't we? And what we have here, I don't care. You can own real estate, but it's not going to be for yours.
It's upside down.
Yeah, you can pass it on to your kids. It's not going to be for them forever either. It's just almost a time that we're just handling this stuff. And are we generous and sharing what God has placed in our hands? Are we trying to hoard for ourselves and keep everything to ourselves, as opposed to sharing and helping one another out? when we try to afford everything.
We're doing it to the wrong monitor.
And the Bible talks about, you know, we like to save stuff so that, you know, it's for us, it's for our family. And we're just kind of like trying to save our own lives, you know? And the scripture clearly teaches that those who try to save their lives, they're going to lose it. But those who give their lives for the sake of Jesus, they're going to find true life. Amen? So how are we handling our stuff here? How are we handling our stuff? This is it's kind of a dire warning. I'm going to read Mark 10:23-25. It says, Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, how hard it is for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God. And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answered again and said to them, children, how hard it is for those who trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Well, that's a pretty strong word picture, no? Camel, eye of a needle. That's impossible, no? But with God, all things are possible, amen? Only with God, all things are possible. You know, scripture never rebuked a person for giving too much. It never said to the widow who dropped in her two mites, lady, what are you? Not too smart? You dropped your last two mites over there. You gave too much. You know, the Bible never rebukes a person for giving too much. But it does talk about those who have a lot and are not rich towards the Lord. Like the rich young fool about the parable in Luke. The guy, you know, he had a very good year, and he's like, man, the farm did good, and wow, I got so much crops, I got no place to put my stuff. I know what I'll do. I'll break down my old barns and build bigger barns so I can put more stuff there. And then I'll say to myself, self, I have many good things laid up for many years. I'll sit back, relax, and enjoy life. And he gets rebuked. You fool, you did not know that this life tonight, the life will be demanded from you. And then where will all your riches go? You know, we are called to be stewards, eh? People who, we are just kind of like managers while we have stuff here on earth. Are we managing rightly? Are we a good manager? We really need to pray to ask God to open up our hearts. And, you know, studying this stuff really, it was really hard on me because there's a lot of stuff that God is dealing with me. And you cannot be the same again. And it causes you to evaluate. I have to talk to my wife and my kids. I say, you know, we've got to really rethink how we're living right now. Because, you know, maybe what we're doing and how we're spending money and how we're living is not pleasing to the Lord, or not the way that He desires for us to use our things. And we need to examine ourselves. Often, we do. You got to examine yourself. If you don't, then how do you know you're like a black spot on your face? You have to examine yourself and see, you know, what area needs the Lord wants to work on. Because you desire to be in His will. You know, as we examine ourselves, we got to realize that we are people who are quite covetous. How many know what the word covet means? Oh, I like. It's yours, but I like. I like your stuff. I don't know, but I like your stuff. I like your water bottle. I like, you know. And desiring something of somebody else's so much, you know. You know, one day we're all going to have to stand before God. We're going to have to stand before Him one day. And you know, we're going to be held accountable for the most greatest gift that He has given us. And it's His Son, Jesus. All the other things are just stuff. We can make mistakes. We can sometimes do it, you know, not do with it what we should. But, you know, with all the things in the world, if you put it together, it's not as valuable as His Son, Jesus. God has given us His Son. So what have we done with Him? You know, what have we done with His Son? Did we put our trust in Him? Did we put our faith in him? Did we believe him when he said that he is God's son? Did we believe when he said that he died for our sins, that he shed his blood so we can be forgiven? That we sin against a holy God? That if we, when we stand before him, if we are not forgiven, that there is a place called hell, there is a place that was created not for us, but if we go and we die without Christ, that's where we're going to end up. The scriptures are quite clear on that. And some of you don't believe that you have sinned. We all have sinned. Even after you saved, brother and sister and friend, you sinned. The difference is that when you were in the world and you weren't saved, you dive into that sin. You enjoy and relish that sin. But after you're saved, you're going to make some of those mistakes sometimes. And then this is where we repent. Because you know that, oh man, I violated, I did something against the Lord, I hurt his heart. And you desire not to do that. Scriptures in Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23 tells us, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know, God has demonstrated his love for us in that even in our very state of sinfulness, he said that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I mean, he loves us, man. How many of you would die for somebody right next to you that you don't even know? How about you would die for somebody who wasn't very nice to you or your family? How many of you truly do that? God sent that for us. He was bruised for us. His blood was shed for us. He took the sin for us. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Thank you, Lord. Father, I know there were many things spoken today. I just pray, Lord, that as we have talked about materialism, about stuff, to reflect on our own lives, each individual knows what they're dealing with. Help us not to be deceived by materialism. We know materialism is like drinking salt water. It looks good, it's cold, it's in the ocean, and it seems to quench our thirst, and we drink it. And as we drink it, we get more and more thirsty. And we keep drinking, and then you get dehydrated, and then you get headaches, and then our heart starts beating fast. And if we keep drinking it, we know that we're going to die. And materialism is like that. Wanting more and more. Indulging in the pleasures. Overly indulging. Father, I pray even today that you'll speak to our hearts. Not just to hear the message, but Lord, what are you saying to us as an individual? Whether we have plenty or whether we don't have much. Lord, may you deal with us. Lord, may we be found pleasing in your sight. And Lord, for myself, Lord, I repent before you, Lord God, that I have not dealt rightly with what you have entrusted me with. And that, Lord, I desire to please you because, as your scripture says, Lord, you predestined us to be Christ-like, that we ought to be more like you, Lord. And Lord, help to change our hearts even today, Lord. We thank you and we praise you, Lord God. And you should keep your heads bowed. Pastor Ben, thank you. Yes.
I know the last 15 minutes was vertically challenged. But you know, praise God, we got to listen to the whole message. And, oh man, you only knew all we had to go through last night to finally get the last 15 minutes. But you can see the heart of the message. And basically, we realize that when we have a heart of materialism, it can really affect us. And it can affect us spiritually too. And you know, it's interesting. I found this prayer on this internet. This is what a prayer can sound like if you have the spirit of materialism in you. Just listen to this. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray my cuisine art to keep. I pray my stocks are on the rise and that my analyst is wise. That all the wine I sip is white and that my hot tub's watertight. That my racquetball won't get too tough. that all my sushi is fresh enough. I pray my cordless phone still works, that my career won't lose its perks, that my microwave won't radiate, my condo will not depreciate. I pray my health club doesn't close, and that my money market grows. And if I go broke before I wake, I pray my Volvo they will not take. And you listen to that, you read on that, right? We laugh at it because sometimes, you know, when our mind is focused on stuff, and more stuff, right? We can head towards a danger zone, and we realize sometimes we gotta stop what we're doing and say, Lord, help me to be focused. Especially in this Christmas season, we think it's about stuff. No, it's not. Just remember what Jesus did for all of us. He did it for all of mankind. He was born on a bright day where the sun shone, and we know, we remember that star that shone brightly right above him, realizing he was born on this day for a reason, so that he would have to go through what he had to go through so that we can truly be saved. And that's the message of the gospel of Christmas, realizing our hearts have to be set on Jesus. You know, I want to tell you about this woman who was known as an old miser. You know, what a miser is, someone who is very greedy and just always thinking about themselves, right? Always thinking of how they can get more and more material gain. And so this old woman, she was known as a miser. And, you know, she waited until the very last minute to send Christmas cards. And she knew she had 49 folks on her list. And so she rushed into the store very quickly, and she bought a package of 50 cards without really looking at them. She said, okay, this looks good enough. Let's go. And then she hurried out of the store, right? And she addressed the 49 cards and signed them without even reading what the message was in the inside. And, you know, on Christmas Day, when things had quieted down somewhat, she happened to come across just that one card. Remember, it's 50, right? One card left. She said, you know, I wonder what's inside this card. So she opened up, she read the message, you know, that she had sent to 49 of her friends. Already been sent already, right? And much to her dismay, the card read, just to say, a little gift is on the way. And suddenly she realized 49 of her friends were expecting a gift that they were never going to get. And, you know, that's the thing, right? When we're so set upon stuff and what we can attain for ourselves, you know what? You get to the point where you say, you know what? It's okay. Even though I made the mistake, they're not getting anything. Hey, I sent them a card. They should be happy with that. Right? And this Christmas, we got to make it a point that we're going to not let materialism give us the expectation for more stuff. But instead, let's have an expectation for Jesus to warm your heart generously. Ask yourself, what can I do for Jesus? Knowing that this Christmas season, it's not about me. It's about Him. And if I can touch other people's lives, if I can touch other people's heart, I'm going to do it. And if you can do that, you really got the true meaning of Christmas in your heart. And as we do that, you're going to experience God's love in its fullness. And, you know, there's a scripture that I really love. It's James 1:17. It says, every good and perfect gift comes from above, the Father of heavenly lights. And realize, as we focus on Jesus, that is the greatest, most perfect gift we can ever receive. And it only came, can only come from our Father God. But every time, you know, this holiday season comes along, we got to remember, we got to receive this gift. How do we receive it? We get our minds, our hearts, focused on Jesus. And when you do, guess what? You know, you just think about it. Little kids, right? They're so ready to say, Mommy and Daddy, I got a long list to Santa Claus. This is all the stuff that I want. Right? And we realize that, you know, as we grow up, as we become adults, right? our list should be changing, shouldn't it? Especially if you're a Christian, you should be maturing in your faith. And as you do, you realize in your heart, your mind, your soul, your spirit, it is no longer about stuff. It's all about my Father God. It's all about Jesus. And I would like to conclude this song. It's called A Grown-Up Christmas List. It's originally sang by Amy Grant, but I'm going to play it for you. Who's that singer now? The one that... No, not Cherry. Anyway, you'll find out. It's a really special song. Just listen to the heart, the message of this song. It's called A Grown-Up Christmas List. Dance.
I wrote to you my childhood fantasy.
to ask yourself, what is your Christmas list this year? Is it all the electronic gadgets that you can attain? Oh, is it all the stuff you just want to accumulate more and more in your household so that it's all stuff beyond what you can ever hope? And you realize, as that song just told us, you know, our wish should be on what we can do to make a difference in other people's lives. And that's what is the heart of the Christmas message. Yes, it's about giving, but not just about the material stuff. You can do that, but you know what? Let's make it a point. We're going to give of ourselves, amen? Because you know who gave of himself? Jesus did. He gave his life. He gave it up because he loved us that much. And are we willing to say, I'm going to do the same thing that Jesus did? He was willing to give up himself. I'm going to give up myself. Not on just the Christmas season. Every single day of our lives. Amen. And as you choose to do that, just see how your life will be blessed. Just see how the joy of the Lord will just come forth in your life. Because you know what? You're going to have a heart full of contentment. And you're going to realize that's what life is all about. It's not about me. It's all about Him. It's all about others. My brothers and sisters, God has called me to love. Amen?
Amen?
Praise God. Why don't we go ahead and bow our hearts before our Father God. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for the message spoken today. And I praise you, Lord, for my brother Julio, as he has spoken that message, Lord, according to what you have led him to speak about, Lord. And I know the very words that have been spoken will touch our hearts. And I know a lot of us, we're going to let it sink deeper into our hearts, deeper in our souls, so we can truly realize if we're struggling with materialism, it has to stop. Because materialism will only draw us further and further away from you, Lord. Help us, Father, to say no more to it. Let our minds not be focused on all the stuff. Let it be focused upon your love, your mercy, your grace. And let it be so great in us that we're going to extend your love in us to others. And I just pray right now, as we know the Holy Spirit will speak to us in ways that will transform our hearts, as you know right now the Holy Spirit may be speaking to you, and you may be saying, you know what, I realize, yes, I've been letting materialism get the best of me. That it seems like, especially Christmas, I just want more and more and more stuff. No more. I just want the presence of God to be overflowing in my life because I realize I need Jesus. From the words spoken today, from the message I heard, I realize I got to put materialism to an end in my life. And I know I'm going to tell you the truth for myself too. I can see that. I got to put my heart and mind more on the things that are really important instead of stuff. And if you know this is the cry of your heart, you're saying, Lord, help me. I don't want to be known as a materialistic person. I want to be a person that people will look at me and they will see that Jesus Christ is alive in me. And if this is truly your cry of your heart, with all our heads bowed, with our eyes closed, can you raise your hand right now and say, that's me. Hallelujah. Praise God. Anyone else? Thank you, Jesus. Anyone else? Praise God. All right. You can put your hands down. Let's pray. Father in heaven, you see those hands right now that have been raised. But more importantly than anything, it's the hearts behind those hands that are saying, Lord, forgive me, Lord, for putting my focus on the things that really aren't that important. Help me to reshift, Lord, my focus on the things that really matter. Help me to reach out to others who are lost. Help me to touch other people's lives in such ways that they will truly know that your love is real. Father, I just pray right now in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Let your holy presence just fill this entire room, Father. And as we receive your love in its fullness, in our hearts, in our souls, Father, we're going to step out into the world. And we're going to look for people that we can truly touch, Lord, with your word.
with your presence. Father, we know our lives don't belong to ourselves. If we say we truly are surrendered to you, we know our lives belong to you. Father, I pray that as we go out, show us, Lord, what we can do to make a difference for you and for other people's lives. We pray this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. All my brothers and sisters say, amen. Amen. Now for some of you, maybe say, you know, Pastor Ben, I heard people telling me I can have a relationship with God, with the Son Jesus Christ. What must I do? How do I get started in something like this? Well, what you can do is, you can first start off by praying a simple prayer. But it must come from deep within your heart. As you're crying out to God, you're saying, Lord, I'm not going to do it my way anymore. I'm going to do it your way. Show me, Lord, how to live, how to walk a life that is truly blessed. And if this is your heart, you're reaching out to God, know that God, He will take your hand and He will lead the way. And you're going to walk a walk full of His blessings, full of His power, full of His strength. And if you're saying yes to Jesus right now, you know your spirit is saying, yeah, I want to give it all. I want to surrender to my Father God. If this is the cry of your heart, can you raise your hand right now and say, yes, I give my life to Jesus. Praise God. Anyone else? Thank you, Jesus. Anyone else? Praise God. All right. You put your hands down. Thank you, Jesus. Won't you pray this prayer out loud? Let's pray together as a family. And if you have raised your hand, please pray it deep, deep, deep in your heart. As you go to God, know He's listening. He's going to take your prayer. He's going to start working some miracles in your life. And you're going to know it is Him. Just repeat after me. Say, Father God, I need you. I give you praise for who you are. I believe in you. I believe in your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for me on the cross. But on the third day, He rose again. And He lives in my heart. I give you praise for that. And Father God, I confess that I'm a sinner. But your word says, if I confess of my sins, you're faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Cleanse me now, Lord. Make me holy and pure unto you. So now I say this so you can hear me, Father God, so that everyone can hear me, so that I can hear myself, and so that the devil can hear me. Jesus Christ is my Lord. I live for Him. I live for a moment. Father God, write my name in your book of life, for I give you praise. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone says, Amen. Amen.